Yeah. Cool. Yeah, last week. Yeah, but last week I think was just for you, which is
good. Okay.
No, I didn't. You can't. A lot of this stuff, you can't. You can't. I mean, there's. You know, the thing with God is that there's a lot of things. He's. I am. So he's like right now. And so when, you know, what religion tries to package God. So it's like, okay, let me try to get the same result that I got last time. Even, you know, when Peter, James, and John are on the mountain and Jesus, the transfiguration takes place, and they're like, wait, we want to build some shelters here, Lord, so that tabernacle, so that we can, you know, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, so that we can stay here. And it's like God is progressive, you know, it's like he didn't stay there. He's dwelling with his people, yes, but he keeps moving with them, and if you're with and in step with Christ, you're moving with him. So yeah, there's a lot of things that can't be replicated, and so it's kind of like what you really just want to do is just be in step with him, because if you're in step with him, then you're in step with where the flow of the Spirit of God is, and with what he's doing at that time. So yeah, so it's like you can never, it's like a fingerprint. You can't ever really replicate what it was that it'll always be unique with him. Now the world does mass production.
Yeah,
you know, the world does mass production. That's it does mass production when it works with people, it does mass production when it works with goods and services, and then it tries to give people some sense of individuality within the norm or within the structure. God, individual, perfect, within each.
Hi.
Welcome, come. Okay. So. Nice to see you. So, last week we didn't really get to the Q&A, did we? Yeah, we're good. Yeah, all this. Last week
we
didn't. So we'll open it up tonight to start with, and then we'll keep going. Anything pressing, I guess, in that regard.
Okay, can I ask you
yeah.
Thing about this, probably nothing new before we're talking about Doomsday?
Yeah, Doomsday.
Yeah,
Doomsday.
Can I believe it?
Well,
2012.
So now it's 2012. You know what's interesting? Is that throughout? Well, yeah. Throughout. Here's something to. Actually, it's good you brought that up, and it's good to make mention of this. Historically, from what I've seen, among quote unquote Christian circles, there's this perpetual. It's almost like. A bit of a disease with where it's constantly looking for, you know, this perpetual, when is the world going to end? When is everything going to... Actually, here, let me show you. Go to Acts. I'll show you this. Jesus dealt with this. Acts chapter 1. Alright, Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. And this is the disciples said, when they therefore were come together, they asked of Jesus, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Okay, and then he goes on, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Okay, verse 6 and verse 7 here. So what they're asking him is, because they had a certain scenario in their head, the Messiah was going to come, and when he came, you have Roman occupation going on, and he was going to come and liberate them from this Roman occupation and restore the kingdom of Israel, and they're going to have this, you know, I mean, it's this certain scenario that had been built in their head about what God was going to do. And some things, yes, God has and will do, but not according to the plans of man. Because even Jesus, the Messiah, didn't show up how they thought he would. Everybody expected a certain type of Savior, and then this guy shows up and they're like, no, this isn't what we were, you know, thank you very much, but no, this is not what we thought. And so a lot of things actually are there, and they missed it. They missed it when with what was actually going on, because they were looking for something else, how they had preconceived notions, prejudices of what God was going to do and how he was going to do it. That said, one thing that what Jesus' response to them with this whole thing was, that it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Basically, don't worry about it. Because, see, what happens is that, yeah, you can know the seasons. But Jesus said, you know, no man is going to... But don't... And we see the seasons. Because also Matthew 24, if you flip to Matthew 24, I'll show you this one too. I mean, Matthew 24 is an entire breakdown of all the stuff that will begin to happen, you know, with the world falling apart, and before the sign of the before the coming of the Son of Man. So, yeah, if you read Matthew 24 and actually go through that whole chapter, and there's so many things about, you know, earthquakes and floods and famines and all, and wars and rumors of wars, and that being like the beginning of birth pains, and the same thing. Basically, it increases. They get bigger and they get closer together, just like contractions in labor. So right now, even in the world, I have no doubt that, you know, there will be more and more and more of the stuff that we see. I mean, they just had Myanmar, and now all of a sudden China. And it's just like, oh, there was a big earthquake in China. It was like a 7.8 or... But in
yeah, it's like about 15,000 people dead and still...
What?
Yeah, yeah. So...
15,000 people?
Yeah, so it I think Chengdu province or... But basically... so, I mean, there's one group that I do some work with in the States. And, you know, they're just getting ready to go to Myanmar. And now they have to do China as well. And it's like... And they're just like, you know, they're just like... It's just, yeah. But you know, the thing is that it won't just be this one. Very, very soon there's going to be another one. And it's going to be another something somewhere. And it's just an escalation in which will continue to happen as time goes on. So you're going to see more and more of this stuff. Now, what man does, and this is actually a very subtle trap of the devil, is, okay, what did Jesus say? Don't love your life in this world. I mean, when you come into Christ, you die to this world. And you die to your life in this world. And he sets you free. So now it's like you no longer live. It's Christ in you that lives while you're here. So everything that you're about, everything that you are, is him living through you. So he sees through your eyes. He responds through your mouth. He lives in this vessel. And you're along for the ride, but it's him. And if that's the case, you're off the hook. If, you know, newsflash, all of us are going to die. So it's, but what happens is it gets people wrapped up in this mental game where all of a sudden now, I mean, there's whole survival communities and there's, you know, like little like pockets of places where people go, and some stuff is genuinely led by the Lord where he genuinely will quicken you and say, look, you know, right now set aside 50 pounds of rice or something like that. Sure. He will quicken you with something sometimes, but you have to understand that one, your provision is taken care of by the Lord. So you have to look at Matthew 6 and realize, like he said, seek first the kingdom. And you have to know these scriptures, and you have to, they have to be true to you, because later on when you're faced with these scenarios, you know that it works, and you're prepared, and you've hidden the word in your heart, and so then it's like, okay, I'm seeking first the kingdom. I've seen it very real in my own life, where I've been in situations where I've had need, you know, all the way down to like, look, I needed some food, and where God would just all of a sudden somebody's knocking on my door with food, and they didn't even know. And it's just like, it's been so over time, and that's been all part of the process of me following God, walking with Him, going where He sends me, doing what He tells me to do. But I don't want to stray too much from this, the doomsday thing. The thing with that is perpetually, people have gotten wrapped up in these doomsday scenarios. And the last big one was Y2K. If you remember that.
Yeah.
Huge thing. Everybody freaking out about their computers and people burning out cars in the front of their yard so they look like they were gone and just moving to the country and all of this stuff. And in the end, what happened?
Nothing.
Nothing. Now if you go back actually 1,000 years ago in 999, when it was about to turn to the year 1000, there was a huge freak out then too, because they thought it was all going to happen then as well. And something about round numbers and, you know, 1,000 year changeovers and what. I mean, so people will perpetually be, I mean, how many people thought Hitler was the Antichrist or Mussolini, or, you know, everybody's calling Bush, and now it's, you know, and I mean, so each one of these people, you know, are perpetually called these names and all that, and then all of a sudden whoever it is that has some popularity is the next one. So it's like, it's just don't get sucked up into it. Do ask the Lord though, because see, you want to be sensitive to the time that we're living in, because we are given a certain period of time to be here in the earth. Jesus had a certain window of time that He was here. Those that came before had a certain window of time that they're here. We have, right now, a very certain, limited window of time that we are in this reality. And it's unto the Lord, it's about His purposes, it's unto His glory, and we have to make a deliberate, willful choice to keep that connection and keep that focus. Because, you know, honestly, we can leave this place, walk outside, get hit by a bus, and forget doomsday.
Yeah,
you're gone. You know?
That's
doomsday. I mean, for people...
Is more dangerous than anything.
Exactly. Like, for people that got hit by the tsunami, that was their doomsday. For people that live in Jaffna right now and getting shelled, this is their doomsday right now. Somebody that's living in Chengdu province in China, if that's the right province, you know, their doomsday was a few days ago. You know, and Myanmar, their doomsday. So it's like, so each of these scenarios, I mean, what are we talking about here? You know, when we're talking about, basically, you should be ready, as a follower of Christ, to leave this world at any time, and also to know and realize that it's an absolute blessing to you when you step out of this body, because you're walking with Him, you're directionally correct with Him, so that when you leave, you just go on into an absolutely blessed state. There's no fear of death for those that walk in Christ Jesus, because we know to whom we belong. The people that are afraid of death are those that are people that actually they should be, because their hearts and their minds are in the world, their lives are in the world, have given themselves over to the world, and so they continue in that direction when they die. And it's a very fearful thing, because it's a direction that's going in exact opposite way of God. So they're going into perpetual darkness and blackness right now, and they just keep going that way when they die. So it's so with all of those scenarios and stuff, it tickles the flesh. It really does. When people, you know, they're kind of like, okay, so now when we start to look, and the temple's the only thing that needs to be rebuilt, and then when that happens, this is your 3.5 years, and I know one guy who's one of the two witnesses that's going to go stand in Jerusalem, and it's like, and then, you know, it gets people excited, and they get revved up about it. And Jesus' instruction is like, look, don't worry about it. I mean, what He said is, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in His own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So, and ye shall be my witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 1:6-8. So, ultimately, he's like, look, focus on the connection, receive what I got for you, and do what it is that I tell you to do. do what it is that it directs and leads you to do, and that's all you got to worry about. So,
and even on Matthew 24:36, it says no one knows what the day or hour, not even an angel in heaven, nor the Son.
Yeah. So,
only the Father.
So if the angels in heaven don't know, how does somebody down here?
Even.
But you know, but God can reveal certain aspects of this.
That is Matthew 24:36.
Matthew 24:36. So there are certain aspects to this that God can reveal and show you with time. So there's certain elements of this. It's like, yeah, He will give revelation. When there was a famine coming on the early church in the book of Acts, He gave them instruction. They took up a collection. They sent relief to the brothers that were about to be hit by famine. Yes, we do that. You know, the Spirit of the Lord will give you, because this whole thing is like one big movie. So it's like it's all been played out. So, because we already know the end from the beginning and everything that's already there. So He will give certain instruction to the body for the sake of the body, for the sake of your own... Because, see, while you're here in this reality, you can affect what's going on in this reality. When I leave, it's a fantastic thing for me, but I'm out of here. So then I shift into the great cloud of witnesses, and I can watch, and I can be cheering on those that are still here, like, go Natasha, but I'm not here anymore. Go down with them, everybody, all of you, fine. I'm going to say everybody's name. But I'm not here anymore, you know. And so, like, even today I was reading some in the book of Enoch, and at the very end of it, he says, you know, that basically it's like, you know, that was his period of time, and may it be a blessing unto, you know, those that God's beloved. And it's like, and may the vision that God gave him be a blessing unto. And it's like, wow, yeah, that's right. I mean, may the work that we do in connection with the Spirit of God be a blessing to those that would continue to be here and continue on past the time that we're here. But maintain that right connection and that right focus with the Father, and don't get sucked up into the traps. Because there's so many traps that will work to try to get your mind. So for example, even this doomsday thing, right? How many people will then get wrapped up into those scenarios of self-preservation and all of these ideas, and you don't realize, look, how many people thank God for your spleen working today? You know, I mean, like, or told your spleen, or told your heart, pump blood. You know, I mean, it's like, but so how much do we take for granted in a day that just God keeps it working? So He's keeping you together, He's holding you together, He's preserving you. So He will just follow the direction. And if there's something there that's specifically for your extension of your time here, so something that would naturally destroy you, but then the Spirit of God will quicken you in that respect. The tsunami for me was a very clear example of that. Not just for me, but for my entire family. Easily, had things been just slightly different, you know, I wouldn't be here, or my family wouldn't be here, or all, you know, or all of us. Very, very easy. Simple scenario. But God's hand being in that situation, also to where we were as a family, all it did was, I'm still here. I'm still in this world because God still has some purpose for me still being here. He has something that He still intends to do for my life in this world. So because of that, okay, so it's about Him. It's not so, okay, now I, oh wow, so now I'm just going to go live it up because, of, no. It's because there's still some purpose there. So, I mean, you'll constantly see these things. But you know what I wish people would do is I wish they would hold these guys to account.
Yeah, you know, that's true. Because after 2002, probably nobody would talk about
it. No, because, I mean, who held the guys to account on Y2K? Or 2002, or 2004, or 2005, or 6, or 8, you know, right now. And it's like, and so how... Exactly. People forget, they give these guys credibility again, they don't... So, you hold these guys to account, you know, when they say stuff like that.
Same example about Da Vinci Code. I mean, before that book came, no one knew about any of this.
Well, that Da Vinci Code is actually a deliberate. It's part of. See, the Da Vinci Code is part of. Okay.
He was just a guy who wanted to get popular.
Yeah. Well, no, he's a sellout. I mean, he's a satanic sellout. So what he gets in exchange for his soul and for him giving himself up to the agenda of the world system is, you know, he gets a little bit of fame and a little bit of notoriety. But the byproduct of that, I mean, what it's intended to do is to... It's a deliberate deception. So the whole thing is, you know, it's to try to corrupt people's faith, to try to, especially those that are kind of sort of in the middle ground, they don't really know, and they, so it's like, okay, let's try to blur it more and more and more, yeah. and paralyze people so that they're I mean, people actually like consider it, you know, something credible, just because it's like, I mean, okay, anybody can put up a web page. Tomorrow I can put up a web page. And if I know how to do something with layout and design, which I don't, thank you Daniel, but I don't, but it's like, if I know how to do something with layout and design, I can make it look very credible. And so if I just do a little bit on the packaging side, I'm saying just packaging, and because I know some things about marketing and advertising.
But
the same thing with like the Da Vinci Code. It's like if you just, the world sets up theirs that will do, again, what's the goal? Antichrist.
I was just thinking, if you painted that picture, you would have painted it. You wouldn't have even thought of where it was going to end, you know? Yeah, now see where, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so... I mean, it's just with all of these things, it's like you can't get.
So
that book was written earlier by a person called Richard Lay. It's the same concept was written as some other name. The Holy Blood and the Holy Grail or something like that. This guy copied it just to make a name.
Of course he did. Because the Satan also rips off his own. Yeah. I mean, it's like
there's no prior design.
Nothing like that. I mean, it's
individual who went and made the list, hid it in a place, and then he rediscovered it again and said, yeah, my name is also in this. To show that it's basically...
It just, you know, even something like that, it really isn't worth your time.
Yeah.
You know, because see, here's what happens too. Again, like the whole doomsday thing, part of the strategy of the devil is to get you wrapped up in meaningless arguments, meaningless debates. I mean, churches were boycotting the Da Vinci Code and burning the book. And
I don't even know why they gave so much.
People want to read it more.
Well, yeah, and it's just like, I mean, the very fact that people respond on a carnal level to something like that. I mean, it's like, ultimately, I mean, yeah, it's good to have some frame of reference for the world that's around you and what's going on. But realize that there will always be these, you know, I mean, there's churches that are deliberate distortions that are much worse than the Da Vinci Code.
That's true.
You know, but they're deliberate distortions of the truth, and they're meant to keep people away from truth. You know, many of the religions in the world, that's all of them actually, are meant to do that, to keep people from the way. So don't, I mean, keep your peace. Don't allow for those things and the next trend, because if it's not this thing, it'll be the next thing.
Right.
And it'll be the next thing. And then it'll be the next date. And it'll be the next book. And it'll be, and you can spend 15 years chasing after books, you know, trying to defend. And you know what? You do not have to defend God. God is just fine defending himself, thank you very much. In fact, you don't have a right to defend God. You're out of place and out of line if you try to. I mean, it's like, I mean, in... We're witnesses to the truth, but ours is not the defense of this. I mean, it's like if somebody you know, we have a a place to testify to the truth that we know and what God's revealed to us. There's a definite place for that. I mean, there's a definite place for just like, look, this is what it is that God's shown me. This is what He's done for me. This is where I am in my walk with Him. Fantastic. But past that, it's like what these guys will do is they will try to wrap you up in this thing as if you're on the same level. And you're not. See, we're not even talking about the same thing. We're not even talking on the same level. I mean, you are breathing God's air, standing on God's dirt, living in a body that God gave you, and you're going to tell me that He doesn't exist. I mean, it's like, you see what I'm saying? It's like, fine, get your own breath. You know, go get your own blood. You know, I mean, you're everything that even allows you to have conscious thought, you got from Him. And just to the point that you can all of a sudden turn around and say, because, you know, of the path I've chosen for myself in walking away from Him, you know, now to justify my own wickedness and my own deception in my own heart, I have to deny the possibility of Him because I don't want to have to deal with the possibility of Him, because then I have to deal with the ramifications of my own actions and my own wicked deeds. So it's like, you know, I'm not going to get sucked into that. You keep going, bang your head against the wall. You're gonna end up destroying yourself. But by the way, there is another way, in case you wanted to know. It is Jesus. He loves you. He made a way out for you. Truth is there, but you have to align yourself with it. So if somebody doesn't align themselves with the truth, then what they end up with is their own way, which leads to death, leads to destruction, and, you know, there is no satisfaction, there's no peace. That's why they keep asking you questions. That's why they keep trying to get you in the same debate over and over again, because you have peace, they can tell that you do, and they're like, okay, I gotta mess with what you got because I don't have what you have, and so I need what you got, and so, you know, misery loves company, and you're happy, so I'm going to try to make you miserable. And it's like, you know, just leave. I mean, there will be so many things that will come your way, and the sooner that you can grasp, you know, Acts 1:7, where it's like, look, you know, don't worry about that. There's a lot of things Jesus, like, look, don't worry about it. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about, you know, when I'm going to restore the kingdom to Israel. Don't worry about those things. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek first the connection with Him. And out of that connection, everything else will be shown to you. So that's really the key. So, Da Vinci Code. Any other ones? But Da Vinci Code, I mean, I feel bad for those guys too, because now, I mean, they've been cursed by God.
What's up with the painting thing though?
Oh,
from the Da Vinci Code?
No, I mean, the real loss of the painting.
No, the whole thing is based on the fact that Da Vinci is supposed to be from this group called Priory of Zion, which is there to save Mary Magdalene and Jesus' bloodline from the Catholic Church.
Oh, yeah, right.
But if you prove that there is no Priory of Zion, the whole thing breaks apart, because he never drew it thinking about the same thing. And they prove that there is no Priory of Zion, and there is no...
No, I mean, ultimately the Da Vinci Code is a bit of a... of a global setup, because you also have this whole thing about Antichrist and all of that. Mm-hmm. And they have to do a precursor to, they have to see, okay, if you are setting up somebody, for example, if I want to, okay, Sri Lanka, if I want to get to buy MiG jets, and I'm the government, and I make money on the deal, if I want to buy MiG jets, I can't just tomorrow turn around and say, okay, we're buying MiG jets. Well, what do you mean you're buying MiG jets? We don't need MiG jets. What do you need MiG jets for? Who do you think you are? Oh, you're making money on a deal. And no, I can't. So I can't do that. So in order for me to be able to buy McJets, what I need is problem, reaction, solution. But what I need is I need to create a problem, determining what it is. I want people to come to the same conclusion that I already had in mind, and then I want them to ask me for McJets. I don't want to be the one. I want them to say, we need something, protect us, save us, we need McJets. I want them to tell it to me. So what do? If I'm a corrupt, unscrupulous person, I orchestrate the circumstance and the situation in order to get my desired result.
So you're talking about people who made the movie?
So here's the thing about the Da Vinci Code and all of those things, global media. For example, in the States, corporate media is controlled. I mean, there's not every single thing of media in the States is controlled, but the bulk of it is bought and owned by certain people. And you control the content. So even for example, if you're outside the country of the States, CNN International is very different than CNN inside the United States. So one time, for example, when I was doing my master's in journalism in the States, the head of Al Jazeera, one of the two founders of Al Jazeera, came to the States. And we were, you know, there was a small group of us that were spending some time talking to this guy and everything. And he said, you know, when he came to the States, he said one thing, and I was asking him, I was like, you know, what do you see as the difference between how certain things are portrayed in the country? And a question along those lines. And he just said, you know, he said, I really wish I would have brought my shortwave radio with me. Because he says, in this country, I've been here for 14 days now, and you don't get any real news in America. Like, you get... You know, and at the time, I think it was Roy being attacked by a tiger. You know, Siegfried and Roy, and you know, one of the tigers attacked Roy, and that was the news in America. People didn't know what was going on the rest of the world.
They said like nobody about Twitter, so maybe like 40% doesn't know about Twitter.
Which is manipulated.
Yeah. So if you control the media, you control perception, and if you control perception, then you're also controlling the masses and you're controlling the people. Now. Take then control of media, control of finance, control of certain key industries, if you're orchestrating certain things, and then put on it now you have a certain agenda you want to see happen. So certain things happening globally. So a consolidation of currencies. You know, so the euro coming together, the destruction of America's currency to try to form the Amero, you see certain places, certain regions, things happening and coming together, all for a purpose. I mean, so you see different things playing out around the world, a one world currency, everything going digital. I mean, there was no internet 25 years ago. I mean, outside of the military. There was no internet. And now, how many people and how much time does everybody spend on there every day? So you see certain things coming into place. So something like that, like the Da Vinci Code or whatever.
Well, I'm talking about painting. Do you think that there is any relevance? I mean, just to say.
The painting is just an artist's rendition in his own mind of what he imagined the scene to be like. And that's it. I mean, even in scriptures, it talks about how they were all reclining; they weren't sitting at a table. I mean, his own personal rendition of what it was that he thought within his own cultural context.
I don't think he had done anything wrong as well.
No, he didn't. No, people.
The way he saw it.
Exactly.
It was interpreted by these people to just suit their.
Yeah.
Right, but it does look like a woman. It looks like a baby, you know? I mean, painting.
It's just a brilliant guy's mind playing tricks on everybody else's this thing, and it's directed the wrong way.
Yeah. If
guys
you,
can look like girls, I mean, we have, like, you know, very feminine features. And
For
me, what I thought straight away was, look, this guy wasn't there when they actually had the last. So I mean,
it's a picture from the Renaissance.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
it's
just my explanation to how I mean he wasn't there.
No, of course. I mean, it's like, I mean, some of these things are like so. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just so, I mean, they're so ridiculous. It's like they don't even dignify a response. Because, you know, it's like, but, and you know what's amazing is how people don't, they get caught up.
Yeah.
And then,
it was just pure fiction, like kind of thing. You know?
Yeah.
And when I, yesterday I it was on Net Geo,
and
I was like watching it, and then he was watching it, and I was like, I can't believe actually, you know.
But see, the thing is, for people that actually know truth, it is ridiculous.
Yeah, but it's interesting to watch it, because, you know, it kind of makes you realize what, how different people, I mean, you kind of feel sorry for people.
Yeah, you do.
You
do. I mean, I do pity them, because it's just like, it's just, again, because they refuse to love the truth, God gives them over to a strong illusion. They guess, so they believe the lie, and so be damned. I mean, it's like, so God gives them over to that. And so it's like people are going that way. People are pursuing that path. And so it's just, you watch people going to their own destruction. It's a hard thing to see.
So is there anything mentioned about her in the Bible at all? Is she mentioned other than the normal chapters about something
Mary Magdalene.
She's mentioned somewhere in the Bible. I mean,
she's mentioned several times.
Yeah. No, they are talking about the, subsequently they talk about, in Egypt they found certain scriptures, and in that her name is mentioned. That's what they're talking about. But that those are not the scriptures which are in the Bible. Those are not the Red Sea Scrolls or anything. These were found way later.
I mean, right now I can write something.
Yeah, exactly.
I can go bury it somewhere, and I can be part of it. You know, 100 years from now, somebody can dig up a copy of the Da Vinci Code. Da Vinci Code. Right now, somebody. So 100 years later, somebody can dig up a copy of the Da Vinci Code and say, "Look what they came up with in the year 2000 and whatever." And it's like, I mean, you know, ultimately, you just realize that this is all part and parcel of, again, the one who came to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, and the goal being to destroy you, and just to get you off the path of truth, but also to also sow the seeds for future deception. Because see, now certain thoughts can be planted in people's heads, so, oh, okay, maybe there's some bloodline that goes back to, you know, because actually, and the twist of it is, man's blood was corrupted with the fall. So our DNA got messed up, our blood got messed up. That's why our blood wasn't clean after the fall. So that's why Jesus had to come in vitro transplant into a virgin birth, so that, and have a complete, you know, independent circulatory system, divine, pure blood to be spilled as the only atoning sacrifice for us. So it had to happen that way. Had it not happened that way, there would, you know, we couldn't pay the price necessary for restoration of connection with a holy God. So, so it's like, so you take something like that, that being the truth and the authentic, and then somebody saying no, because, again, what's the goal? Because they want to lord it over somebody else. So let's create a fictitious bloodline. Because even Isaiah talked about, when he prophesied about Jesus, and when the eunuch was in the chariot, you know, reading the scriptures that Isaiah had written, and it says that, look, he had no children. You know, that he was like a lamb before the slaughter, he was, that he doesn't have any descendants, and that whole thing, it talks about, Isaiah talked about his life being cut short in the physical, as the sacrifice that he had to pay for us. So it's like scriptures, and every single prophecy in the Bible has been fulfilled or is like about to come to pass. But it's all wrapped up. Nothing's left over. So you know that's there. You know that's true. So it's like, anyways, it's just, that's part of why you have to also let this, hide the word in your heart. Because the scriptures will come back to you when the scriptures will come back to you when you're in the situations, let me see actually. So anything it's Acts 18:33 or 32. In the place of scriptures which he read this, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so open not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So, in the NIV, I think it's also talks a little bit even more plain language. But basically, just like, you know, I mean, he didn't have, there was no bloodline that's going. And he says, like, it's like, and then he goes on to tell him about Jesus. So, anyways, that to just say these are idiots, you know, they really are. I mean, it's like they're the world's, oh, forgive me for calling them idiots, but they're not smart people. Because if you distort the truth and you distort and you give people a lie and you're part of the deception, you set yourself up against, who are you setting yourself up against? God, the one that made it all. It's like, you know, okay, you got one lap around the track, go run, hope you had a good time, because when you get to the back around, you're going to have to face the one that you just, you know, gave the finger to. And it's like, and ultimately, you face yourself, cut off from him. And it's like, that's not smart. So you pray for their, hopefully their salvation, you know, but...
Yeah, I feel people love to be associated with all this hype and controversies, and you know, and they just want adventure.
Yeah, I know. And it's also people who don't believe, I think.
Yeah,
well, yeah.
It's what reasons?
They just want some meaning, so they go in search of that meaning in the wrong places, and they, you know, get.
I actually didn't watch it till like
even
weeks ago.
Recent, I mean,
because I didn't want to, because I knew it was just bullshit. I just couldn't bother.
Yeah.
But eventually when I did, I just thought, okay, I should see what this all about, you know, what they're talking
about.
You didn't
read the book?
No, I didn't. When it came out, I didn't want to, because for me it just didn't make any sense.
Well, I got 10 books that actually have some value that I want to get to.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's just, you know, time as well. So, cool. So, any other ones? I mean, there's some principles here with these kind of questions, which is good, because I mean, part of it is we're learning how to be here, we're learning how to walk out this life, so this is important.
Should I have some? I want to spoke seriously.
Yeah, can songwriting, I'll add that to the list.
I read the book, I just read it because okay, one thing is I like reading stuff like that. That doesn't mean that I believe it.
No, of course.
You can always.
Yeah, it's always good to know.
Yeah.
You know.
And I want to find out what is really wrong with it. And when I read it, I understood what exactly this guy had been trying to do and what is wrong with it. And yesterday also when I watched the program, I understood it much better because I read the book and I knew exactly what was mentioned in the book, because most of it is left out of the movie.
Oh, is it?
The movies, because you can't cramp it all into the movie, because of that they have just taken the major parts. But actual fact is that it's purely fiction, and he had built it up in such a way that he had played it out to deceive people mainly. And halfway through, you just forget what the beginning was, where the flaw actually lies, and you start believing the whole sequence of events, and that's where you fall. Because if you believe, if you...
For me, the only thing was the painting. I was wondering why we actually have it everywhere. That
actually, he
painting.
Says at the beginning, it says...
Because it's somebody's idea of Last Supper. So I was thinking, why do we have... I mean, I have a picture of Last Supper in my house, dining area.
Yeah, he gives a list of facts. Okay, the book is fiction, but he gives at the beginning a list of facts which he says are true.
He says it's
true. He says. And so it's based on that, okay. Because if you say that is false, then whatever which he says after that is false.
Well, that's actually an advertising technique.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an advertising technique.
One of those facts are wrong, so that had been proven. And
Well, no, it's a marketing technique.
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually like if I say, you know, product A is 20% more effective than product B.
like what they do on television.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like if I say, you know, there's been everyone that's used this product has got fat loss. You know, and it's like unless, and so like if you begin with a premise like that and nobody questions it, nobody does any research into it, then everybody believes product A is, you know, 20% more effective than B, and everybody gets...
They say that.
They say it's like money back guarantee, you return it. So the moment you hear that, you think, okay.
It has to work. Exactly. Exactly. So see, these are the games that are played to ultimately for what? To deceive. To trick, to deceive, to get you to believe the lie.
Your mind had already been conditioned, so whatever comes after that...
Exactly.
Yeah, automatically... Like,
now you are told 20% fat loss, and after that they show you all these pictures of beautiful looking women who had not lost anything, but they have just come as models.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And you start thinking, right, okay, this. Yeah. And sometimes you don't notice
you think
they are not showing the face upwards, they are just showing the bodies only.
Do you think any one of those people uses the machines that they advertise?
No, not one of them
uses the machine. They go do their proper workout, and then they get called in to actually do an ad, and then to advertise the stuff. I mean, we know that. We do some stuff in the same. So it's like, so there's that. You know, here's one thing they do with these before and after shots. Is sometimes they'll actually pay somebody that's in really good shape to not eat, to not work out, and to eat a lot for like 2 months.
So before
they're in fantastic shape, and they know they'll get that picture, and then they take the shot of them like...
Well, you better be good.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's like good money, and then they just, you know, they go and they get sloppy and fat, and then they take the after shot, and then they just switch them.
Yeah.
And they're like, here's the person. You know, and it's like... And so it's just... You have to realize
that... You mean like Photoshop and stuff like that.
But those ones are legitimately the person.
Yeah.
You know, so those are legitimately the person. It's like, oh, here's two shots of the same person. But it's like, it's just realize that all of these are games to ultimately distort truth. And what you seek is you need to seek God. And you need to seek truth from Him because the spirit of truth resonates in you when you hear and see actual truth. Well, yeah, because if you don't see, and ultimately if you don't line yourself up with truth, with Christ, then what you end up getting is you'll end up getting the lie and you'll end up believing this stuff. So if there's not a heart for truth in the first place, and that's the real key there.
And there's so many books available and stuff available now. It is much more dangerous because there are so many things to read and all that. You can get deceived very easily.
Well, so much of it is a deception. See, that's the thing. The vast majority, for example, the vast majority of what's published, again, if you control the publishing houses and you control the content of what goes through there, so when they're making decisions on whose book's going to go out, you know. Okay, let's print the purpose-driven church. When Jesus, you know, Jesus leads sheep, a man drives cattle. The purpose-driven church is the cattle. I mean, it's like it's here's how to get a program going, and here's how to get everybody. Here's how to build the numbers in your outcome-based religion. And it's not about, and if you, and the scriptures are twisted, taken out of context, all of this stuff. But anyways. That to say, it's like these, it's very, very tough when the world and the world system has been set up in such a way to keep truth out. You know, it'll be, you know, it's like you have to really go search for it. So you have to ask, you have to seek, you have to knock. There is some really good things about the internet, you know. I mean, it's a neutral thing. People can use it for whatever. Most people use it for what's in their own heart, which is wicked stuff. But some people can use it actually for good things. And there is, if you start searching, you can find some really, really fantastic information out there and some really good things. But...
It's kind of risky though, you know, because you don't know which is...
No, but when you read it, if you have the truth in you, you just.
See, this is where Anoka, where the heart of the person if you are seeking truth, if you're a truth seeker, and you are in connection with the Spirit of Truth through Christ Jesus, then now you're safe, because what you can do is everything you can check with Him. And if your pursuit is Christ, and you're in the direction of truth going with Him, now it's like anything that comes your way, it's like, Lord, what do you think? And very, very quickly these days, He's just like, that's not me. That's not for me. I'm like, okay, oh, thank you. Cool, deception. Thanks, thank you, try again. And so it's like, because now, you know, as you continually tune yourself to His voice, you know where things are coming from. So I don't live in an illusion that the bulk of this stuff is not Him. I realize that. But then part of my own struggle is, okay, Lord, what's my response? You know, to this and to the things I'm around. So I know where it's coming from. See, the truth part of it now is like, okay, I have truth. You know, I have big T. I've got big truth. But now my question is, you know, okay, with the different lies that I encounter in the kingdom of the enemy, Lord, what's my response? And how do I then deal with those situations? Good Q&A. Maybe we'll